The personal is political, so the saying goes. And if you talk to young environmentalists, they'll often tell you they got involved in the movement after seeing the effects of climate change and climate injustice firsthand. WBUR's Miriam Wasser spoke with two young activists about how their experience as immigrants and women of color inspired them to take action.
I'm Andrea Namitra. I'm 25. I was born in Ghana, and my family moved here in 1998 when I was 3. I remember my childhood feeling like it went by very quickly and just like constantly having to work and like seeing my mom and my parents like constantly having to work, but still not feeling like they're being stable. It wasn't until college when I was at UMass that those things started to click. And I was looking back on like my story and coming here and just seeing that there are systems in place that delineate people into haves and have-nots.
My name is Dania Halak. I'm 18 years old. I was born in Damascus, Syria, where my mom is from. And then I moved to Aleppo, where my dad is from. And, you know, I lived there, I think, very, like, great childhood, a wonderful life. And then the Syrian Civil War started. And I recall kind of this moment where I had just returned back from school and a bomb was dropped on the college right across the street from my house. There was so much pressure. I couldn't hear anything. I remember just like squeezing my eyes and I couldn't see anything. And I tried to open my eyes, but like everything's still black. I focus on that moment specifically because it comes up to mind when I kind of was learning about how the city that I live in now, which is Revere, is like one of the most vulnerable cities to climate change. I feel like I have already lost a home, which is Syria, and I would call Revere home, and I'm trying to call it home, but it's like really difficult to like build that attachment to a place that I know I might lose as well.
My climate work really sprung in my sophomore year of college. I switched my major, which really upset my dad. I went in as like a biology major pre-med, and then I realized that I really hated the classes in bio. So I switched into natural resources conservation. Like my classes were filled with, this is how the animals are being impacted by climate change. This is the rise in sea levels. This is the parts per million, like super science heavy. I wasn't yet fully thinking of like the people aspect of climate change. And it wasn't until 2018 when I went back home to Ghana, and this had been 20 years since I had actually gone back home to Ghana. So it was a very interesting experience where things kind of clicked for me.
I came to the United States in late 2016, the beginning of my freshman year of high school. I stumbled upon an article by Richard Seeger from Columbia University, and he talks about how climate change actually played a role in starting the Syrian Civil War. So like the story goes is for 3 years, Syria experienced a drought, and then crops died and the economy suffered, and you know, farmers had to move into cities, and that also created some tension. So then the stability of Syria was kind of shaken up. And I know that like it's not everything that caused the Syrian Civil War. That would be, you know, very naive to claim. But just thinking about how something so small can contribute to the thing that happened after, of having to move from place to place and then like from country to country, you know, and I still battle with that, where I'm like, where is home? I still don't know what home is.
Part of the reason why I act is very personal in nature, of just like seeing the severe droughts in Ghana, torrential rains during the wet season that can completely flood a whole community in Ghana. The blackouts, because there was just not enough electricity to go to everybody. When I was there was where I started to see more of the people aspect of environment and climate change. And so now when I'm doing this work with environmental justice and climate change, like really, really bringing in the people stories, because I think that is often forgotten.
I remember we went to the souk, me and my dad, and we saw cherries, and cherries are a staple in Aleppo. Like, we eat cherries all the time. We even put cherries in meat. And I'm like, oh my God, Baba, can we get this? And he shakes his head and he's like, we can't now. And now I know that, like, at that point, the price was too high. And then, you know, you look back at that moment, you're like, that was a sign.
People of color and, like, low-income people, working-class people, immigrants are grossly underrepresented in a lot of the halls of power. For me, it's always been very helpful to be grounded in my own story and to always know that there's a community that I can go back to like, talk about it with, because it's very hard to do it in a space where you're the only one.
Something I've witnessed a lot as an immigrant is this act of kind of, like, you're poor, you're struggling in this way. I'm clearly superior, therefore I have the power to help you and I will help you in this way. And I think that really relates to certain environments in the environmental activism circle where, in my experience, you go into these organizations and it's a very white group. And I bet nobody wants to be racist or insensitive, but when you have places that are not diverse and not representative of the people that you're fighting for, that's often what happens.
The major I was in, like, I was one of the only women of color, so it was all white. It was all very naturey people, like people who went on hikes all the time and, like, had all this, like, skiing gear, and I'm like I like to go on walks in nature, but I don't like have all this gear. So it was definitely like a different space for sure. And like, I feel very supported within my organization, but a lot of the climate coalitions that we're a part of, I'm still the only person of color in that space.
I started advocating, you know, for climate policy before I learned about its connection to Syria. And then, of course, when I learned just exactly how much we are in trouble here in Revere, it was terrifying. And I was like, well, we need to, like, pump the gas now. I think there's this thing that just, like, happens when you're an immigrant and you just, like, fend for other people. There's this, like, sense of empathy that happens where you do something good simply because it's something good.
Dania Helak is a freshman at Amherst College and a field advisor for the environmental policy group Our Climate. Andrea Namicha is a co-director of the Massachusetts nonprofit Neighbor to Neighbor. This story is part of covering Climate Now, a week-long global journalism collaboration of more than 400 news outlets. To find more of our coverage, head to WBUR.org.